devotees here pronounce their Sanskrit better than the devotees in Suva. That means you're educated, isn't it? And there's more ladies who participate too, which is good. See, they're trained up. So, yada,
when
rahitam,
freed from,
anmanam, self,
bhuta,
material elements,
indriya,
material senses, guna ashayahi,
under the influence of the material modes of nature.
Swarupena,
in pure existence.
Maya,
by me.
Upetam,
approaching.
Pashyan,
by seeing.
Swarajyang,
spiritual kingdom.
Richati,
enjoy.
Prabhupada translates, Richati is enjoyed. Technically, it means to attain. Anyway, so translation, when you are free from the conception of gross and subtle bodies, and when your senses are free from all influences of the modes of material nature, you will realize your pure form in my association. At that time, you will be situated in pure consciousness. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai Prabhupada. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that a person whose only desire is to render transcendental loving service to the Lord is a free person in any condition of material existence. That service attitude is the sarupa, or real form, of the living entity. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also confirms this statement by declaring that the real spiritual form of the living entity is eternal servitorship to the Supreme Lord. The Mayavada school shudders at the thought of its service attitude in the living entity, not knowing that in the transcendental world, the service of the Lord is based on transcendental love. Transcendental loving service is never to be compared the fourth service of the material world. In the material world, even if one is under the conception that he is no one's servant, he is still the servant of his senses under the dictation of the material modes. Factually, no one is master here in the material world, and therefore the servants of the senses have a very bad experience of servitude. They shudder at the thought of service because they have no knowledge of the transcendental position. In transcendental loving service, the servitor is free as the Lord. The Lord is Swarata, fully independent, and the servant is also fully independent, or Swarat, in the spiritual atmosphere because there is no forced service. There, the transcendental loving service is due to spontaneous love. A reflected glimpse of such service is experienced in the service of the mother unto the son, the friend's service unto the friend, or the wife's service unto the husband. These reflections of service by friends, parents, or wives are not forced, but are due only to love. It's not pure love. Here in this material world, however, the loving service is only a reflection. The real service, or service in Swarup, is present in the transcendental world in association with the Lord. That very same service in transcendental love can be practiced in devotion here. Auspicious rain, isn't it? It hasn't rained for a long time. It always rains when I come. This verse is also applicable to the Gyani school. The enlightened Gyani, when free from all material contaminations, namely the gross and subtle bodies, together with the senses of the material modes of nature, is placed in the supreme and is thus liberated from material bondage. The Gyanis and the devotees are actually in agreement up to the point of liberation from material contamination. But whereas the Gyanis remain pacified on the platform of simple understanding, the devotees develop further spiritual advancement in loving service. The devotees develop a spiritual individuality in their spontaneous service attitude, which is enhanced on and on, up to the point of Madhurya Ras, or transcendental loving service reciprocated between the lover and the beloved. So yudavahitam atvanam tenriya gunashayati svarupena maihopetam pasyan svarajam richati. So om aganatimadandasha gananjana shrakaya chakshurun meditam yenatasmai shijitavay maha. So as Prabhupada points out here very nicely and elsewhere, is that we're always serving. You can't get out of it. And sometimes we think we're independent, but at least we're serving our senses, or we're serving humanity, or we're serving our dog. I mean, you see this, of course, in the Western world more. That is in Australia, America, New Zealand. People actually serve their dog. They every morning when it's time for the dog to pastoral, they take the dog out. You know, even rich men in New York, very rich men, maybe multi-millionaires, but they're taking this dog out and waiting while the dog lifts its leg against whatever. I think you understand what I'm talking about. Or the dog passes stool and he's just waiting. Please do it now. And then, because they're in these cities where there's some restriction against garbage, you understand? Here, you know, people throw garbage everywhere. We're walking here on the street, there's garbage everywhere, there's stool everywhere. Anyway, in India it's even worse. So, but in New York, there's a restriction, so people have to carry with them something called a pooper scooper. You've heard of this before? That's a little shovel with something to scoop up. Or else the police will come and arrest them.
Plastic bag,
and then the government arranges places to put the plastic bags full of stool. So this very rich man, he's going around and shoveling dog stool. Not even cow manure. And he thinks he's independent. So this is what it's come to. Or people in other countries, like Japan, for example, they think they're independent, they're working very hard. They have to take the subway to work. Everybody knows what a subway is? No. It's a train. It goes under the ground. And there's so many people in the subway, the government has to hire people to push more people into it. You understand? It's so packed full, there's no room for anybody else, no room for more people. But the government somehow or other has pushers at each station to push everybody into the train. And they're riding like that for 3 hours every day to work and 3 hours back from work. And they're thinking they're independent. And then they're serving the master, especially in Japan. When they're serving a particular company, they actually chant a song to the company in the morning. Just like we have our Mangal Arati. And we chant a song to, you know, our master, Srila Prabhupada. And to Krishna, of course, Radha and Krishna. But they chant, let's say they work at Sony. Everyone's heard of Sony before? Yeah. Very popular company. So they chant, I pledge my heart to Sony. I don't know what they chant exactly. Just like you have, you know, in Fiji you have, oh Fiji, my Fiji. And you have the flag and everybody starts crying. Actually, we went to one program. It was interesting, it was a graduation. Where's Brenda? Is she here? She's there. Where is she? She's gone. We went to Brenda's graduation, and the PM was there, and everybody was chanting, oh, my Fiji, oh Fiji, we love you, my Fiji. And I was thinking, this is stupid. Yeah, because what is this? So you become a servant of Fiji? So you're a servant of your senses, a servant of Sony, a servant of Fiji, a servant of your wife, a servant of your husband, servant of your dog. You can't get out of it. And if you ever want to see your real master, just go to a mirror and look at your tongue. That's your guru. You understand? It's like we were chanting before we take prasadam. The senses are very uncontrollable, and of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious. So the tongue is basically pulling us from here to there. Just like you see dogs, they have tails, right? And they wag the tail. Can you imagine if the tail wagged the dog? Think about it. Think about what I mean. Like the dog is sitting there and the tail going like this. Can you imagine if the tail stayed steady and the dog went like this? Just think about it, what I'm talking about. And so it's like that the tongue is wagging us in the same way. The tongue, the belly, the genitals, mind, anger, and words. Everybody is working hard to satisfy these different senses. You know, mind, anger, words, tongue, belly, genitals. So basically we are servants. And actually all the servitude we render in the material world is not pure because we're doing it for ourselves. It's like a business exchange. Why are you serving the tongue? So you get happiness. Why is the wife serving the husband? So he'll give plenty of money and new saris. She gets her salary also. Right? Sometimes if the wife doesn't get enough saris, she says to her husband, so-and-so, Devi Dasi, she got so many new saris from her husband. Anyone ever hear that before? But you never get me any saris. And if the man preaches philosophy and says, it's just you just have a material body. What do you need saris for? You're in Maya. Then, boom. Right? So it's not causeless service. You know, rolling chapatis for saris. Or whatever. I mean, jewels or saris. I don't know. I'm a sannyasi. I don't know about these things. So... or money, or a house. You know, it's always causal. Full of cause. Actually, the closest thing to pure love in this world without Krishna consciousness is the love a mother has for her children. That's the closest thing. Like if you ever go to a funeral, you'll see that everybody is crying. Not everybody. But people are crying about themselves, not about the person who died. Which is interesting. Oh, he died. What am I going to do without him? But the mother is crying for see, if the son dies or the daughter dies, the mother is actually crying for the person, for the son or daughter. Everybody else is crying for themselves. Isn't it? And then, many times right after the funeral, the family's discussing what's going to happen with the money the father left. You ever see that happen? It's a big argument. Well, it's mine. Left the house. Anyway, that happens. So mother's love is the closest, although it's still not completely free from material nepotism. So in other words, we have to realize that we're forced to serve in any case. Now, if you go out and you tell people, join the Krishna consciousness movement and become a servant, especially in the Western world, they say, you know what, servant? What is this? Nonsense. Or if you say, even use the word spiritual master. Oh my God. So nowadays when we preach, we can't say spiritual master, we have to say my teacher. If you say spiritual master, the word master means slavery. Like in many countries, they used to have slavery. Like in America, we used to have the slaves were brought from Africa. And people were sold, and they all had masters. And they would buy them in an auction. You understand? Auction? You know what an auction is? They put a person up on the auction block on the stage, and they say, how much do I bid? How much do I hear for Jai Jagadish? Do I hear $10, $10, $10 going once, $10, $11, $11? $20 sold, Jai Jagadish is sold. So in this way, that's where people get the impression of master. And, or the word boss. Like if you say the guru is my boss, that's also another bad thing. So you have to say, the guru is my facilitator. Helps me. Gives me helpful suggestions. But the philosophy is, our Krishna conscious philosophy is Kuru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Gauri Yakya. I mean, the words coming from the lotus mat of the spiritual master should be followed, and it's an offense to disobey the order of the spiritual master. Anyway, so people have a hard time, especially in the Western world, imbibing the idea that we're supposed to be servants of Krishna or servants of Krishna's representative. Very, very hard. So we need to gradually introduce this idea. And one develops this attitude of service by chanting. And especially the attitude of service to Krishna. Like, it's very interesting, Prabhupada here talks about swarup, because the word swarup means one's real form, which is really interesting. And generally the sahajas, when you talk about swarup, they think you mean, well, are you a gopi? Are you a coward boy? Or are you a mother or father of Krishna? They think of it in that term, and they ignore the whole point of Jivara Swarupahoi Nitya Krishna Das. That's called the Sahaja philosophy. Sahaja philosophy means to take things very cheaply. In other words, think you can jump up to pure devotional service or jump up to understanding your eternal relationship with Krishna without going through the preliminary activities, which is what's mentioned here in this verse. When you are free from the conception of gross and subtle bodies, and when your senses are free from all the influences of the mode, then you will realize your pure form. And not until then. Not until then. So there's this thing that the Babaji's do in Radhakund. They call it Siddha Pranali. And many ISKCON devotees have been attracted by this cheap thing. You know what this is. Siddha Pranali. That means the Babaji will tell you, oh, you've been serving Krishna so much in the Hare Krishna movement, but really, you haven't made much advancement because you need to accept a Rasa Guru. And that's me. And I can tell you what your spiritual form is in the spiritual world. And that's very attractive, isn't it? Like if I say, Jai Jagadish, I can tell you who you are. You are Jaya Gopi Devi Das in the spiritual world. And you go, oh, what a nice guru he is. I don't have to work hard anymore and do all this preaching stuff, you know, and cook for all these people. I can just sit and meditate on my form as being a gopi. Jaya gopi. So it's very attractive to people. So many ISKCON devotees have left. You know, they go to Radhakund and the Babaji's tell them and they go, wow. It's easier. But their Krishna consciousness is simply an illusion, hallucination. Prabhupada said that anybody who thinks they can become Krishna conscious outside of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is simply living in hallucination, right? So they think they're Krishna conscious. And because we have imperfect senses, we make mistakes, we have a tendency to cheat, right? And because of that, we can think that spirit is matter and matter is spirit. Very easy to confuse the two for a conditioned soul. Isn't it?
Yes.
Very easy. So we think we're perfectly realized, but actually, we haven't realized the self. We haven't realized that we're servants. Because all the different rasas in the spiritual world are based upon the foundational principle of servitude. Like the gopis, for example. It's not that they're just like some lusty girls who are trying to enjoy a lusty boy. The gopis are willing to go to hell to please Krishna. We all know that story. That when Krishna had a headache, that Narada Muni went to all of Krishna's devotees and everyone said, no, we're not going to give the dust of our feet because that's what was supposed to cure the headache. Because we don't want to go to hell. I mean, that's very dangerous. Like if I say you give the dust of your feet and put it on the altar, who would do such a thing? None of you would do that. You think, no. I don't want to go to hell. A very great offense. Like in India especially, like feet, anything connected with the feet is considered very dirty. Like Prabhupada even said, we shouldn't be moving furniture with our feet. Did you know that? Prabhupada was so strict like that, you know, and we do that, of course, we move everything with our feet, we move other people, get out of my way with our feet. But you're not even, like if someone's in the temple room, you're not supposed to step over them. But devotees do that, I see that all the time, they step over other devotees. It's a very good offense, step over other devotees. Of course, one time, Govinda Das, the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, stepped over Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But that was because out of service. What happened was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell asleep or was resting by the doorway, and Govinda Das, who was supposed to massage Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, couldn't get in to massage Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was blocking the doorway. So Govinda Das put a cloth over Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he stepped over him, and then he's massaging him. But he didn't leave to take prasadam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, why have you not taken prasadam? And he said, because you're blocking the door. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, but you came in. And Govinda Das said, yes, for the service, I'm willing to accept the offense, but not for sense gratification. It's a very interesting story. Like that. So getting back to the gopis were approached by Narada Muni, you will give the dust from your feet. And the gopis said, here, take immediately. And Narada Muni said, aren't you worried about going to hell? And the gopis said, we don't care. We want Krishna to be happy. And the gopis also said, if our unhappiness is Krishna's happiness, then our unhappiness is our happiness. Can you imagine that? That's love. Yeah, where do you find such sacrifice? So that's service. And that service attitude is present in all the residents of Vrindavan, whether they're just in the service rasa, or whether they're friends of Krishna, whether they're parents of Krishna, or lovers of Krishna. Or even those who are in Shanta Ras, if you're in Vrindavan, you have to have some mixture of service. Otherwise you wouldn't be in Shanta Ras. Pure Shanta Ras is like Mayavada philosophy, basically. You just worship Krishna and you don't do anything about it. So the Shanta Ras has to be mixed with some other servitude. It has to be mixed with servitude. So that's the point. And Prabhupada makes it very clear here that the only time we'll realize our spiritual identity is when we're free from the selfishness, the desire not to serve, of both the gross and subtle bodies. What do you mean by gross and subtle bodies? Gross body is this panchamahabhuta. You know, the senses, like that. We think that we're Fijian or American. That's also a gross conception. Upadi. It's called an upadi. Like the acharyas describe what sarvupadi, vinirabhuktam, tadat, varendraina, nirmalam, rishikena, rishikesha, sevanam, bhakti, ruchate. One has to be freed from those things. That's the gross thing. And the subtle body is actually a little bit more difficult to become free from. That's the conception, basically, that I'm the center. It's the false ego conceder, I and mine. You understand? Because the subtle body is closer to the false ego. The false ego, two divisions, I and mine. And, of course, the I and mine affects the mind, so... Of course, the gross elements are earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And the subtle elements are mind, intelligence, and false ego. So, how do you get free from these things? Very easy. Just, instead of identifying things as I and mine, identify everything as belonging to Krishna. Say, Krishna's, it all belongs to Krishna, right? Nothing belongs to me. Nirvana maho tita sangha dosha. Avyatma nitya vinivritta kama. Vanvara vimuktar sukaduka samyar gachanchi muda padam avyam tat. That's 15th chapter of Gita. How to get free. That being free from bad association, free from false prestige, understanding everything belongs to Krishna, everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarva lokamaheshwaram suradam sarva bhutanam. And when you're free of all those things, you'll understand who you are in the spiritual world. But not until then. So you gotta wait. Nothing free, nothing cheap. You gotta work. Just like anything in this world, you have to work for. Just like those of you who are retired, you worked many years in the sugar place, right? It's not that you just showed up one day and said, give me my retirement pay. Isn't it? How many years did you work on?
36.
36 years he worked. Then finally retirement. Can you imagine? 36 years. But we wanted to get retirement benefits the first day. You join. Can you imagine if you went there? What would they do if you went there? Said, I'd like a job. I'll just work one day and I get retirement benefits. What would they do? He said, get out of here. So it's the same thing with Krishna consciousness. Anything good you have to work for. You have to control the senses. You have to, you have to focus your mind on pleasing Krishna. You have to chant purely. You have to rise early. Follow the sadhana process. I mean, it's work. I can tell you, it's work. And every time your mind focuses on a sense object, you got to bring it back under the control of the self, isn't it? Constant practice. Especially in Kali Yuga, chanchalahi manaha dridam, that the mind is restless, turbulent, and obstinate. So after working hard, and it may take many births, then you understand who you are in the spiritual world. Just like that story of Mukunda. We should be patient. Just like that story of Mukunda. Mukunda was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya didn't want to let him into the kirtan because he had had some bad association. And he was waiting outside, and he was crying, and the devotee said, when are you going to let Mukunda in to the kirtan? And Lord Chaitanya said, after many, many births. And Mukunda started jumping in ecstasy. He said, oh, I will get it, I will get it. So that's utsahan nishtya darya tatat kama pavartana. Patience, enthusiasm, determination. So we have to be ready just to work. And then work hard, Prabhupada said, samadhi later. You understand? That was Prabhupada's mood. Work hard, samadhi later. And don't be attracted when other people tell you something different. Because that is not a fact. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, all these great acharyas, they had the same philosophy, work hard, samadhi later. Maybe they didn't say it in those words, but they expressed it in their philosophy. That's our Krishna consciousness. And of course, everything gets better every day too. It's not just the promise that after 10 million births, you're going to be Krishna conscious. But every day you get happier too. The more advancement you make, the more detached you are from this world, and the more happy you become, and the more knowledge you have. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. Janayati Asu Vairagyam Yadam Cha Yad Ahaitikam. So, any questions or comments about any of these points? Yes?
So, yesterday, there was a class, you mentioned, how to surrender to.
Yeah.
In this back over 10 years, there was a poster in Lepoka, I've seen, in blue classroom. The Prabhupada is printing, and he mentioned that Prabhupada wants you.
Prabhupada wants you, yeah.
Good picture. Big picture of Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he have given a good example about the use of what the Guru wants from you.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that. India.
Yeah.
So today is your Vyas Puja, so we'll be celebrating your Vyas Puja today. So we'll get there.
Yeah.
So I just want to just to clarify on this that the guru and disciple, the relationship.
Yeah.
That comes in Abhidya. Sambandha Tattva.
Yeah, Sambandha. And now also Abhidaya is Shiksha Guru, yeah.
So actually, the disciple should know what actually the guru wants from the disciple.
Yes.
And the disciple should know what offering he should offer to his guru.
Yes.
And the disciple should know how the relationship between the disciple and his both brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Both brothers, both sisters.
Yeah.
He should know. Because now, people, the devotees mostly, they think this is my guru. This is my group. And the relationship between the both brothers.
Not good.
Not good. So we can just elaborate on this.
Mm. Yeah, especially, first of all, we're all Prabhupada's Shiksha disciples. And one should not distinguish, basically, between
who is someone's guru within ISKCON, of course. And we should feel that we're all brothers and sisters. I mean, that's the point. You understand? That's the real point. I mean, if someone feels that, you know, my guru is better than your guru, it's just like my father is better than your father. Did you ever see that? And then the kids get in a fight over that, and then the two fathers have to fight each other after that. My son is better than your son. Then that will be very displeasing to Srila Prabhupada. So basically what I want as a spiritual master is that I want everyone to work for Prabhupada's pleasure. And what will give Prabhupada pleasure is if we work cooperatively in loving spirit with each other. And not distinguish between who initiated me and who initiated you, but just see everybody as Prabhupada's children. I mean, that's really, you know, if you ask me. And then, of course, work for Prabhupada's mission, stay within Prabhupada's mission, preach Krishna consciousness. Everybody is meant to be a preacher. If you don't preach, you won't learn the philosophy. If you simply sit and study, and you never speak it, how are you going to learn the philosophy? It's just academic. It's just like when I went to school, I learned so many stupid things. I went to the university, and I don't remember any of them. Some of them I may remember. But I studied nuclear physics, how to make an atom bomb. Interesting stuff, you know, useful. And, you know, top secret stuff when I was working. But practically speaking, I don't remember much of that. Because what's the use? But I remember the philosophy because every day I'm speaking it. The reason I know whatever verses I know in the Bhagavad Gita or other books is because every day I'm teaching people about Krishna. So everyone is meant to be a preacher or a teacher of Krishna consciousness. So that will please Prabhupada. And then we work together. We're all one team. No partisan spirit. Prabhupada said your love will be tested by how you cooperate with each other. That's everybody. And if we have a guru partisanship, our movement will break apart like the Gaudiya Math broke apart. That's the reason the Gaudiya Math broke apart. And it's very bad. Everybody's working for the same team. You understand? I mean, someone is, what are the different positions in soccer? I don't even know. Someone's the goalie. What are the other positions? Striker? What does a striker do?
Making goal. In front of
it. Oh, he's in front of the goal?
Yeah. Making goal.
He kicks the...
All the players expect him to make the goal.
Oh, yeah. So they put him in front of the goal so he can kick it through the goalie.
It doesn't work sometimes. Because the players make the
goal. Right.
They pull him out.
They pull him out. So someone is a striker, someone is a goalie. What other positions do you have?
Fullback.
One's a fullback.
Left and right wing.
Left and right wing.
12 in favor.
Yes. And some people are just watching. So we shouldn't be the person who watches. What is that saying? That some people watch what happened, some people wonder what happened, and some people make it happen. So we should be the people who make it happen. Right? I mean, nobody's a hero by watching the soccer game. Right? There's no heroes. But the hero is the person who plays the game. So we should play the game. Yeah.
Hare Krishna is action.
Yeah. Prabhupada said movement. He called the Hare Krishna movement, not the Hare Krishna whatever, you know, rasa people. Movement. Movement means to move. So all of us should be preachers. Especially, and I was mentioning this in Sugra, especially those of you who are from Indian extraction. Lord Chaitanya says, everyone, Bharta Bhumate, Oila Manasa Janma Jar, anyone who was born in India, Lord Chaitanya says, and also says, anyone who was born in Fiji. I'm adding a little bit to Lord Chaitanya. But, you know, you're basically, you're Deshis, but you don't realize it. Indian. Deshi means... In India, you say it means someone who's a citizen of India. Basically, you're from India. And so therefore, you have a great responsibility.
para upakar, to work for the benefit of others. Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada said that, Lord Chaitanya said that, so it's everybody's responsibility. Even if you have a job, you preach to people in your workplace. You figure out a way to make people Krishna conscious.
Yes.
I mean, I have one disciple in the UK who works as a social worker, and what she does is she gives everybody little Gauranga stickers.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet her?
She came to Fiji.
She came to Fiji, yeah. She gives everybody Gauranga stickers, whoever she meets, even at work. And she says to her clients, she says, what is the magic word? And they say, Gauranga. And they say, Gauranga? They don't know it's Hare Krishna. Because if they said Hare Krishna, then they would connect that with the person who took all their money on the street. You know, for book distribution. So they put this Gauranga sign all over. Even on the bridges, they put Gauranga signs. Everywhere. The devotees used to go out in the middle of the night when everybody else was sleeping and paste Gauranga signs all over the city. And originally people thought Gauranga was the name of a bridge company. So everybody's meant to preach whatever way you can. Yari Dekatari Kar Krishna Padesh, Amari Gari Guru Boy Tore Desh. Okay? I think we can end class now. Okay, so there's prasadam. We have a lot of programs today, at least tonight. All glories to His Divine Grace.